The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Oh, hi. Before we start the show, it's time for this week's Bubble Genius Showcase Item of the Week. April is Stoners and Mothers Month at BubbleGenius.com. Man, head on over to BubbleGenius.com and pick up their That Rug Really Tied the Suds Together Big Lebowski Tribute Gift Pack. A Big Lebowski-themed gift pack that's got a little of everything that makes the movie so beloved. Dude's Caucasian drink soap, a small bowling ball soap, Walter's face down in the mud Dead Sea mud mask, bloody toe soap, bowling pin soap on a rope, Maud's Viking helmet soap, Jackie Treehorn's drawing soap, and a can of Johnny's Ashes bath salts. The dude abides. $70 at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's BOBANDCHEZ, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now let's start the damn show.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Damn, dude, this place is huge!
Yeah, it's almost as big as Cartman's ass.
No, it isn't, you guys.
This is where all our work is done.
So what are you going to do with all these underpants that you steal?
Collecting underpants is just phase one. Phase one, collect underpants.
So what's phase two?
Hey, what's phase two? Phase one, we collect underpants.
Yeah, but what about phase two?
Well, phase three is profit. Get it?
I don't get it.
You see, phase one, collect underpants. Phase two... Phase three, profit.
Oh, I get it.
No, you don't, fat ass. Do you guys know anything about corporations?
You bet we do. Us gnomes are geniuses at corporations. Jesus Christ, look out!
Oh my God, they killed Kenny. You bastards. Listen, we have to give a huge speech tomorrow about corporate takeovers.
Holy shit, we killed your friend.
Yeah. Look, we gotta know about corporate takeovers tomorrow. We're screwed.
Christ, we squished him like a bug.
Do you know anything about corporate takeovers?
Well, we can explain that to you easily.
Yes, for a price.
What?
You know.
Underpants?
Underpants! We're having fun because we're number one. And the part that makes us smile is making friends all around the world, singing up and down the dial.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
It is Tuesday, March 29, 2016, and this is the Bob and Chez Show presented by BubbleGenius.com. I am... Oh, hello.
Sorry about that. I meant to mute. My apologies. Still trying to get over this cold, man.
I nearly pooped myself. Thank you. I'm Bob. That's Chez right there, coughing up a lung. We're also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. If you want a great lawyer, better call Bo. Or head over to thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez or click the link on the podcast page for free legal advice.
Yes.
Or underpants. He'll take underpants as or in lieu of payment. He's going to love me for saying that, by the way. Please don't send underpants to Charles Bowen. Do not do that. I am not saying to do that. That would be bad. I don't think he'd be very happy. All right. Let's just dive into the show here today. First one, by way of a programming note, I guess we decided, didn't we? We decided it today. We're going to be off next week.
Yeah, we're taking the week off.
We're going to take a week
Bob
off.
Bob and I are going to go get married.
What? You weren't supposed to tell?
We're moving to Sweden where we're having our gender... Is it gender reassignment or gender confirmation surgery? Now, I hear the very politically correct thing to say is gender confirmation because they were always that gender. So then we're just confirming that gender by giving them this operation that confirms their gender as opposed to reassigning it. Because if we're reassigning it, it would mean that they were a different gender. But really, they're whatever gender they tell us. There. Yes.
You got that?
I got that. Right. I tried.
So,
I'm being, that's me being an un-PC little asshole.
Suffice to say, there will be no podcasts next week because it's been a while since we had some time off and we need some time off to refuel the outrage tanks. That's where it all comes from.
Also, you know what though? We say this now, but something's going to happen.
Something big's going to happen,
Ted,
of course.
Ted Cruz is going to, like, shoot Donald Trump in the face or something.
Yeah. If something like that
something
happens.
Something big will happen.
Yeah, exactly. If Ted Cruz shoots Donald Trump in the face, we'll be back and we'll do a show. We'll dust off our microphones and come back and do a show. But, I mean, barring anything that's, like, earth-shattering news with the election or anything like that, we're going to take next week off because, good Lord, I need it. I mean, it's just one of those things where you just get to a point at a certain stage after several months. It's like clockwork. I need to step away and refuel somehow. And that's usually taking a few shows off will do that. So that'll be next week. But we've got a full contingency of shows this week and more than enough crapola to talk about. Thanks to, in part, to Susan Sarandon.
Oh, yeah.
Who, you know, quite frankly, I really like Susan Sarandon. I like her in movies. I like the way she looks. I think she's an attractive woman. I think she's a talented woman. And most of the time,
I excoriated her today. But you know, I for some reason I feel the need to say this. Like anybody who says that, granted, look, she's very very rich, which means that she's had the ability to properly nip and tuck, as it were. Mm-hmm. But look, she's a great looking woman. She's gorgeous. Yeah. Anybody who says she's not sexy is an idiot.
Yeah. Absolutely. And maybe it's problematic of me to say that she's attractive or for either of us to say she's attractive.
No, you know what?
I
don't think there's anything wrong with it because people have recently that was a thing.
Yeah.
Where somebody got on her about, you know, you shouldn't show your boobs at your age. Like, you know what? Right. Seriously, if she's got breasts that look like that at her age, my God, show them off.
Absolutely.
You go right
ahead.
Jesus.
Yeah. No problem there. What is a serious problem? Is
that she's an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, when someone with that level of influence gets up in front of a microphone, in front of a large liberal audience, as was probably watching Chris Hayes last night, and says that, you know what,
Wait. It's Chris Hayes. Not a large audience.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. I'm wondering, shall I revise that statement?
If we're lucky, it was like 100,000 people. If he's very lucky.
Yeah. Well, thanks then to the internet, because then this clip has circulated all over the place. And it's basically Susan Sarandon saying, hey, you know what? If Bernie Sanders doesn't get the nomination, a lot of people aren't going to vote for Hillary Clinton. And quite frankly, if Donald Trump gets elected, then the revolution is going to come a lot more quickly. And it's the, as I played at the top of the show, it's the underpants gnome business model rearing its ugly head once again. We cover this a lot, and it always has to do with the far left. In the case of Susan Sarandon, well, I'll tell you what, we'll come back to the underpants gnome business model after we play this clip. This is Susan Sarandon on with Chris Hayes last night. In case you missed it, and I imagine most people did until it was on the internet today.
Isn't the question always in an election about choices, right? I mean, I think a lot of people think to themselves, well, if...
By the way, that voice you're hearing is Chris Hayes, not Susan Sarandon.
Just yeah, I know. I know most of you won't recognize that because you're not watching.
It's Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, and I think Bernie Sanders probably would think this.
I think Bernie would probably encourage people because he doesn't have any ego in this thing. But I think a lot of people are sorry. I just can't bring myself to do that.
How about you personally?
I don't know. I'm going to see what happens.
Oh, no.
There's that thing again that I wrote about last week that infuriates the crap out of me. Mm-hmm. That, you know what? I don't know if I could do it. Really? Guess what? Mm-hmm. It isn't about you.
Right.
You're not, this vote is not some, as again, as Matt Osborne said perfectly, this vote is not your virginity that you give to the most pure candidate.
That's right.
You know, this vote is something that you do not for yourself, your conscience, but for the betterment of the country. And honestly, if you're Susan Sarandon, who's just unbelievably rich, and you know, lives in, as I said, this is absolutely true, lives in a $1.775 million penthouse in Greenwich Village. If you're that person, you have to vote based on not, you know, again, screw your conscience. You have to vote based on what's best for everybody underneath you.
Yeah.
Everybody who's not you, who is financially insulated to whatever horrific thing a President Trump or President Cruz would do.
Yeah, that's right. Well, let's continue with this, because I have more to add to that, because it's... As a rich person, Susan Sarandon has, as you said, nothing, literally nothing to worry about in the event of a Trump presidency.
She has no skin in this game whatsoever.
Yeah, exactly. Because it won't be her children going to fight World War III under Donald Trump.
Yeah, like I always say, you know, you're not going to get drafted to go fight in a war against Liechtenstein because their prince insulted Donald Trump's fingers.
Let's continue with this.
Really?
Really.
I cannot believe that as you're watching the rock,
well, you know,
Donald
some
Trump
feel Donald been. Trump will bring the revolution immediately.
No.
If he gets in, then things will really, you know.
Oh, you're saying the Leninist model of fighting the contradictions?
Yeah. Some people feel that.
Don't you think that's dangerous?
I think that what's going on now, if you think that it's pragmatic to shore up the status quo right now, then you're not in touch with the status quo. The status quo is not working, and I think it's dangerous to think that we can continue the way we are with a militarized police force, with privatized, with the death penalty, with a low minimum wage, with threats to women's rights, and think that you can't do something huge.
No. Exactly.
No on every single count.
No. And this is this is the H.A. Goodman line of reasoning. You know what H.A. Goodman does when you challenge him on Twitter? He comes back and says, you say this is ridiculous. We don't want to elect Donald Trump, so we need to band together and elect the nominee, regardless of who that nominee is. H.A. Goodman comes back and says, oh, what do you want to do? You want to like endorse the for-profit prison system? Is that what you want to do? That's what's dangerous. Like, are you insane? Are you literally a mental patient? What Susan Sarandon is doing here is
I just have to inject for just 1 second to say, okay. I keep trying to provoke H.A. Goodman,
and
he just ignores me, which I kind of mean, part of me, like, I'm kind of like, damn, why doesn't he love me? Because, like, I think yesterday I sent him something that said, like, look, dude, I read your latest piece, the one about, you know, how Hillary should concede.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I read your latest piece. I said, man, keep doing what you do. You are the best comedy writer on the internet. I love you so much.
The collection of H.A. Goodman headlines. Yeah. And of course, it's exactly. The H.A. Goodman headline of the day is, it's time for Hillary Clinton to concede the Democratic nomination to Bernie Sanders. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. That one made me laugh out loud. And he's got a lot of good ones. I just don't know. I mean, what happens? I mean, I guess most people are like us, reading his headlines and going, good Lord. And somehow he continues to get published when this is just, I mean, it's not even like, all right, occasionally I write something and say, hey, you know what Bernie Sanders says about income inequality is pretty good. And I think that's a pretty good posture because A, B, C, and D. But he doesn't do that. It's all like this nonsense. For lack of a better term, it's propaganda is what it is.
Loud noises!
So Susan Sarandon is wrong on so many levels, and mainly because, again, she's not going to lose her health care like I will. Or like, what, we're up to 20 million people now who are covered because of Obamacare, specifically because of Obamacare, who will then lose their health insurance. And a lot of those people are covered under the expansion of Medicaid, which is poor people. Poor people will lose their health insurance if Donald Trump or any of the Republicans gets elected. But this is somehow going to bring about the big revolution more rapidly, according to Susan Sarandon. So this is the underpants gnome business model, which is basically number one, if Bernie Sanders isn't the nominee, then don't vote for Hillary Clinton. Allow Trump to get elected. That's number one. Number two, question mark.
Yep.
Question mark, question mark, question mark. Number three, revolution. That's right. No, in fact, it's that dumb. The thing is with the question mark, question mark, question mark, that contains all varieties of horrible things. That contains people losing their health insurance. That contains this new bellicose foreign policy in which we're declaring war against Liechtenstein. Because as you said, they insulted the length of Donald Trump's fingers.
Yes.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
His hands.
Yeah. I mean, what are the real repercussions here before you get to your revolution? That's not the way you do it. You do not tear down the village in order to save it. Yeah. I mean, I can't even believe we have to sit here and enumerate these things. But then, of course, it's getting circulated all over the place. This is some sort of great idea. Yeah, okay, here's what we want to do. Here's how we eventually get whatever. I mean, we're not even really clear on what the revolution is. One, two, who's going to be the leader to bring about that revolution? You know, another 4 years from now, Bernie Sanders is going to be 78 years old, going on 79. Is it going to be Bernie Sanders who's going to bring us the revolution in 4 years? Is it going to be someone else? Is it going to be Susan Sarandon, who's got this nihilistic view of politics? Boy, I certainly hope not. I mean, the whole thing is a big joke. And if you think that it's fun, or you think that you're going to somehow punish America by not voting for the Democratic nominee, if that nominee happens to be Hillary Clinton, then you're out of your mind. You are a sociopath. That's basically what we're talking about here, because what we're really looking
at... you have a lack of empathy.
Yeah. I mean, there's a very real possibility that if Donald Trump is elected president, or for that matter, Ted Cruz, we're talking about a major, major war on the horizon, just the same as what would have happened if John McCain had been elected, or if Mitt Romney had been elected. If John McCain had been elected, we would have invaded Iran. That's exactly what would have happened. If nothing else, we would have been bombing Iran and probably drawn into a conflict against Russia, who would have supported Iran in that case. And then if Mitt Romney had been elected, there still would have been this unbelievable possibility of an invasion of Iran. So if you're willing to take responsibility for the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of casualties that would have occurred. Imagine the invasion of Iraq, and imagine you being the person to say, hey, you know what? If we just elect Trump and then there's that Iraq war with all its casualties, that'll bring the revolution quicker, and hooray!
Good. Yeah, exactly.
Hooray died. For us.
People died. That's like that thing that idiot Russ Belville, who called me out personally because after 4 years he still has a bug up his ass about me. That thing that he wrote where he said, you know, nobody died in the Bush administration. Oh, yes, they did. I think his exact words were like, you know, we survived it. No, not all of us did.
Yeah.
Not all of us survived. A ton of people got killed. 9/11, Afghanistan, Iraq, people died.
And how many people were dying from lack of insurance, and how many people will go back to dying from lack of insurance? That will continue to happen. You do not get to single payer and universal health care by kicking 20 million people off their health insurance.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what Donald Trump would do. The more I think about this, the more reckless this is.
Completely. Reckless is a good word.
For someone with influence and access to major news media, like Susan Sarandon has. Susan Sarandon's a big name. Susan Sarandon comes out, says something. There are people who will go along with that. Now, granted, there is a chance, and this is a very strong chance, and because it happened 8 years ago, and it could very well going to happen again, which is that Bernie Sanders supporters, like smart people would, will engage in this healing process. Once Hillary Clinton is the presumptive nominee, there will be a healing process, and it will be led by Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders will reach out to Hillary. Hopefully. Yeah. I mean, that's what history has shown us.
That's the thing. He's definitely a wild card.
Yeah.
But I do trust him to be, as he said before, I trust him to be responsible enough to understand that what the alternative is.
Well,
to understand what the alternative is when, quite frankly, a lot of his fanatical disciples don't.
Right. I mean, so what'll happen is by the time we get to the convention in late July, there will be a reconciliation going on. A lot of Bernie Sanders supporters who are deeply hurt by Hillary Clinton becoming the nominee will eventually come around and vote for Hillary Clinton. A lot of them will hold their noses, but I think they'll understand. I think they're smart enough to understand that the stakes are just too high to screw around with the vote. But the more people like Susan Sarandon come out of the woodwork and say, hey, you no. Voting for Trump, that's going to give us what we want more rapidly. No. No, it's not. It's absolutely not. There is no way, a shape, or form that is actually going to occur. What's going to happen?
As I said today, she put a face on the Bernie or bust movement.
Yeah.
Up until now, it's been, for the most part, you know, you could dismiss it, which, by the way, I haven't. But, you know, maybe if you were supremely skeptical to a fault, you could dismiss it as a bunch of idiot millennials online who maybe they wouldn't have voted anyway. Maybe they're just a bunch of, you know, dingbats making noise. She just went up there and put a face to it.
And let's be clear before we go to break here. It doesn't matter whether it's a matter of staying home or if it's a matter of voting for Jill Stein or some other third party. Regardless, if you do not vote for the Democratic candidate, and we could say that we've said this over and over again, this is nothing new, but just to repeat and reinforce, any vote that is not for the Democratic nominee is basically a de facto vote for the Republican.
Yes, it is a passive vote for Trump or Cruz.
Because that's the way the system works. If you, and you can eventually change the system if you want to make it not like that, and we can have multiple parties and never any governing mandate whatsoever after having multiple parties, and then changes in government over and over and over again, basically becoming a European nation with our government, where every 8 to 10 years or whatever it is, our government completely changes because we have, there's no governing consensus whatsoever with third party candidates being elected. You have two parties, then you're basically flip-flopping between the two parties. You have multiple parties. I'm getting off really on a tangent here about having third parties as just as viable as the major two. It's just, there's no consistency whatsoever. The reason America has survived for as long as it has with one constitution is because of the two-party system. Add multiple parties and it's just not going to work. So even that as a possibility has so many downsides that it's difficult to even sit here and list all the downsides of voting for a third party candidate, voting your conscience for a third party candidate. And believe me, I'm sitting here as a guy who was dumb enough to effing vote for Ralph Nader in 2000, the worst vote I ever cast in my life and one which I will always, to the day I die, regret. I'm just throwing that out there. Not saying that you're going to regret it by voting for the third party in the general election, but you probably will, considering what could happen if you do. All right, we're going to talk about some shaving razors here, just by way of a change of pace. Okay, we're going to talk about Harry's Razor. When I say shaving razors, there's really only one razor to get, and that's from harrys.com. So here's something I tried the other day. And I haven't been able to do this with store-bought blades, so just bear that in mind. In order to get a really smooth shave, guys, maybe you've tried this before, I used my Harry's razor and shaved downwards and then upwards. Usually my face, that gets you a really clean, close shave, but usually my face would get burned and cut to a crisp with a store-bought blade. But now that I'm using Harry's razors, my face felt totally smooth no matter which direction. It's touched or rubbed or whatever. It's, you could go either way, and it's completely smooth. Do what I and over a million others have done, men and women. Make the switch to shaving products from Harry's.com. Harry's started 3 years ago this month, and they saw the insanity of blade prices, so they just bought a factory in Germany that's been making precision blades for over a century. And now the blades go right from that factory to your door with no middleman. That's how Harry's took the sting out of blades. Now imagine getting the same great razors we use, three of those sweet five-blade cartridges, moisturizing shave cream, and more for just $15 with a money-back satisfaction guarantee. And don't forget, ladies, Harry's is perfect for your legs and your armpits. Go to harrys.com, enter the promo code BANC, B-A-N-D-C, for $5 off your first Harry shave. Plus, you'll be supporting the show by taking good care of your face or your legs with harrys.com. That's H-A-R-R-Y-S.com.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Yes, it is. Thank you for joining us on our Tuesday show today.
All right.
Yeah.
Before we go any further.
Okay.
If this doesn't get him, nothing will.
All right.
All right. I just tweeted, I love H.A. Goodman, and I, you know, put in his whatever, his hashtag or whatever, his Twitter name. I love H.A. Goodman because reading him is like reading the guy the nurses allow to put together a weekly newsletter in the mental ward.
You know, make it perfect if his headlines were all spelled out using cutout headlines from other newspapers.
Yeah.
Like individual letters, like a ransom note.
Exactly.
God. Well, New York Times columnist Charles Blow was not a big fan of what Susan Sarandon said last night on Chris Hayes. So Charles Blow made a Facebook video in which he he didn't pull any punches on Susan Sarandon and the Bernie or Bust people. So here's Charles Blow.
Please tell me he just starts it off with, "Listen, white lady."
Kind of. It's kind of like that. Here's Charles Blow from the New York Times.
I kept playing that thing over, that clip back and back over and over, because I just could not believe that you were saying what you were saying. This is, it borders on insane. But even if it's not insane, awesome. It is completely insensitive to the people who have been targets of this man's rhetoric, who are scared to death.
That's Trump he's talking about.
Of what that administration would look like. Look, liberals, progressives.
I almost thought he was going to say, look, white lady.
Right. Look, bitch.
Democrats, whatever you want to call yourselves, stay focused. I get it. You're passionate. Be passionate.
Yeah.
And when this is all over, whoever ends up getting that Democratic nomination, remember this. There is a Supreme Court nomination hanging in the balance.
Yep.
There will be federal judgeships where people will have to be named.
It sounds like Charles Blow is smoking a little pot while he's talking.
Good for him. I
don't know
if
he is or not, but it surely sounds like it.
There will be international agreements that we will have to hammer out or be honored. We have the threat of ISIS and a lot of other volatile state actors in the world who we need a steady commander-in-chief to deal with it. Mm. This is not a game. This is not throw my lot in to force a revolution, even if I'm throwing my lot in with a horrible human being, with a demagogue. Please put your feelings in the comments here. I don't care who you're for at this point. I literally don't. You know, I wrote about this, the Democratic race, a lot.
Okay, well, you get the idea at that point. Yeah, that is Charles Blow. And, I completely forgot about the Supreme Court thing, too.
Yeah.
God, there's so many different things that could go completely effing haywire if a Republican is elected in November. I mean, everything. The entire Obama legacy would just be shredded, just entirely shredded on day one. And you know that's going to happen. The only way to keep it from happening, if suddenly the Congress switches and suddenly the House and the Senate are the majority is Democratic. But the chances of that, I don't know. It's slim, especially if a Republican wins. And I think someone like Charles Blow needs to be speaking out and setting the record straight as in terms of just how dumb it really is. Yeah. Okay, so moving along here, as you may or may not know, these are the people that would be running the White House, running 1/3 of the United States government if elected, and if enough Democrats stay home. Corey Lewandowski, who's the campaign manager for Donald Trump. By the way, last night I was watching MSNBC, and I think it was on Lawrence O'Donnell. There was a guy who was labeled a senior Trump advisor. Who is actually advising Trump, and what are they saying? Because it doesn't seem like he's taking any advice. It seems like he's just saying whatever the hell he wants to say.
I think one of the things that stuck out for me most about this Trump campaign, I mean, there's so much about it that's a joke, but the idea that the other day there was a big story, a big sort of media story about Don Lemon shutting down a Donald Trump surrogate during an interview because she wouldn't stay on topic and, she was filibustering and that kind of thing. And who was the person that he shut down? Omarosa.
Really?
An honest to God media surrogate for Donald Trump is a has-been reality show bad person.
Oh my God.
That's who is speaking out for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And it's like, and then you have his spokeswoman, what the hell's her name? Pearson.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a lunatic.
Yeah.
And then you have it's like everybody's speaking for him. They're all these B-list, C-list, D-list weirdos.
Well, it's a big freak show, is what it is. The entire Trump campaign is a freak show. And I was talking about this guy Corey Lewandowski, who's the campaign manager for Donald Trump. He was charged the other day in Florida for misdemeanor battery after this Breitbart reporter accused him of manhandling her. Michelle Fields filed a police report with Jupiter, Florida police on March 11, alleging that Lewandowski forcefully grabbed her by the arm, nearly pulling to her ground after a campaign press conference. Lewandowski turned himself over to police after 8 a.m. on Tuesday, according to the arrest report. He has a mandatory court appearance scheduled for May 4th at 8:30 a.m. This is a big deal. Any other campaign year, any other election year, this would be just like, well, I guess that candidacy is doomed. Like, that would be the end for Donald Trump in any other year. But because, I don't know, there's some need for this. There's some need in the media. And I forget who it was who actually confessed to this on television the other day. It was in addition to Mark Halperin, there was one other person who said, oh, yeah, well, totally. They absolutely want Trump to continue on because it's great for ratings.
Exactly. It's true.
So that's why this continues to go on. That's why.
Yeah, Les Moonves said as much.
Yeah.
To the Hollywood Reporter. He said to the Hollywood Reporter, Donald Trump, it's the Donald Trump era. It's bad for America, but it's great for us.
Absolutely. And so that is the bottom line. If you think the media has some sort of agenda politically, you're out of your mind.
No. The media agenda is conflict and ratings.
Exactly.
And one leads to the other.
Yep.
Conflict leads to ratings.
That's
which
right.
Leads to revenue.
That's right. That's the news media is entirely driven by that. I don't know that
ratings and clicks.
I mean, I don't know that every single newspaper is like that, but I mean, generally, when I talk about the media, I'm talking about cable news, not to mention the network news as well. I think it's all about the maximum number of eyeballs you can get on a particular network at a particular hour of a particular day. And short of that, they just don't care. You know, I mean, MSNBC would go hard right conservative if they thought they could challenge Fox News adequately. If they actually thought that they could defeat Fox News, that'd be it for MSNBC being the liberal network. I mean, that'd totally be it. They will make decisions based entirely on what's going to maximize their numbers and therefore their revenue. That's just the way it works. So we have this guy Lewandowski getting charged and assaulting this Breitbart reporter. And then meanwhile, Lewandowski's attorney was once busted for allegedly biting a stripper.
That's it. That's it. That's what I mean. It is a freak show.
Yeah.
And every the more layers of the onion you peel back, the more crazy it gets.
Yeah.
It's like not all right, you've got, you know, a guy who works for Trump who's a joke,
right?
Who's Corey Lewandowski.
Yeah.
He's a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And then he assaults a reporter and then his lawyer is a giant joke.
His lawyer's a joke.
It's a joke after a joke after a joke.
Yeah. An attorney helping Donald Trump's embattled campaign manager Corey Lewandowski fight a battery charge previously resigned from his Justice Department post after allegations surfaced that he bit a dancer at a South Florida strip club. Kendall Coffey, I've heard of that name before. I've heard that guy mentioned in the news before, who was the U.S. attorney in Miami from 1993 to 1996.
I know Coffey, yeah.
Yeah, resigned just one day after being called to Washington to meet with then-U.S. Attorney General Janet Reno, according to the Sun Sentinel, after racking up a $900 bill at the Lipstick Club in South Miami-Dade County.
Coffey, and I'm familiar with that club as well. Yeah, no, I know Coffey really well. He you know, he was the big crap in Miami for a really long time.
Yeah. Did you bite a stripper there at all?
I did not bite a stripper at Lipstick.
Okay.
No.
Got it.
But I have been to Lipstick.
I mean, I thought that might be a thing. You go to the Lipstick Club and you just bite strippers.
And they don't like that.
Yeah, no. You don't go up to, evidently this stripper was named Tiffany, that Lewandowski bit, you know, bit her somewhere.
I'm sure that was her God-given Christian name.
That's right. And it made, by the way, it did make this sound. This is an actual sound of Kendall Coffey biting the stripper. We got that. That's an exclusive to the Bob and Jez show. He paid the bill with a credit card. Well, at least there's that, before being kicked out of the club, according to the Miami Herald. The paper also reported Coffey's father later brought back the credit card slip for $1,200 in an attempt to conceal his alleged involvement.
Yeah.
You know, spending all that money and then biting the stripper. I mean, what in what universe do you think it's okay to bite a goddamn stripper? Where are the rules unclear in a strip club?
Yeah.
They always say, you know, keep your hands off. Hands off. You get in a lap dance, hands off. Mm-hmm. You're watching a stripper, you keep your hands off. But this guy went so far as to bite someone. While the woman and her husband told the Sentinel at the time the bite was hard enough to break the skin, they said they didn't want to end his political career. Well, isn't that nice of them? So they're feeling sympathy for Kendall Coffey after he bit the stripper somewhere on her body. And this is the guy that Corey Lewandowski is being represented by, in this case. A guy who's already assaulted a woman. Actually, you know what? The attorney did far worse than Lewandowski did. I think the attorney biting the stripper is far worse than, you know, grabbing her arm, which is what Lewandowski did. So there's that. The freak show continues. The Trump freak show.
Oh, great. It gets better because I'm just reading Little Green Footballs.
Oh, great.
Donald Trump suggests he might press charges against Michelle Fields, the one who Lewandowski grabbed.
Oh, yeah, because sue everybody.
That's just astonishing.
Sue everybody. He's like Donald Trump is Saul Rosenberg. Sue everybody. I bring my shoes and my glasses with me, so I have them. All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and talk about, oh, God, guns at the GOP convention right after this. Okay, let's talk about supporting independent media. For only $1 a month, you can help finance the Bob and Chez show at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's 12 cents per show. Go now to patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez. And sign up for $1 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, or $15 a month, or whatever you can afford. If you sign up for $5 or more, you'll get special Patreon-only shows like our post-mortem wrap-up show, the Not Safe for Work after-party show, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of the free Tuesday and Thursday shows. Most of all, you'll be supporting a totally independent podcast not affiliated with corporate media. And if we reach our $7,500 per month goal, we'll bring you new shows 5 days a week, Mondays through Fridays. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez, or click the Patreon link at bobsesca.com. Let's do this thing.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Okie dokie, and the second half of today's show is brought to you by the BobSesca.com Amazon link. If you shop at Amazon, enter the site using our link just below the logo at BobSesca.com, and we get a small commission from everything you buy at Amazon.com. Okay, it costs you nothing and helps support the show. All right, moving along here on our Tuesday show. This was the dumbest thing I think I've seen in quite a while, and it's perfectly in keeping with the tone and tenor of the Republican campaign for president. There was a petition going around by Republicans who wanted to open carry firearms at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland.
I wrote about that. I don't think that was a Republican petition. I think the Republicans jumped on it, not really realizing it. I think, especially if you read it, I think that petition was 100% trolling satire.
Do you think it was, really?
I absolutely do. Absolutely. Yeah, a lot of the people who signed it were not Republicans.
Interesting.
I mean, I circulated it. I said, this is brilliant. This is genius.
What a great idea. Yeah, I mean, obviously right here, the...
They're always willing to put, you know, the rest of us, they will put our lives in danger by saying that gun-free zones don't work. Well, you know, time to put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah, you know who I want to ask about this? See if what he says about it. Should we open carry at the Republican National Convention? I want to ask this guy.
The Daily Banta.
I had thought about that because guess what? Shall not be infringed. Shall not be infringed. Shall not be infringed.
That's exactly right. And so as of today, Secret Service is infringing. Because the Secret Service has announced that, no, there will not be any open carry. There will not be any firearms whatsoever at the Republican National Convention. An online petition in support of the effort rapidly gained signatures and attention in the past week, applying pressure to pro-gun Republican officials and presidential contenders to walk the walk when it comes to guns. But on Monday, the Secret Service said that only law enforcement personnel will be allowed to carry firearms at the event, because of course that's going to be the case. Yeah. Title 18 U.S. Code sections 3056 and 1752 provides the Secret Service authority to preclude firearms from entering sites visited by our protectees, including those located in open carry states, Secret Service spokesman Robert K. Hoback said in a statement. Only authorized law enforcement personnel working in conjunction with the Secret Service for a particular event may carry a firearm inside the protected site. Because, duh! But, of course, they're infringing. This is all... I wish I had the drop of Dan Bandani just repeatedly saying shall not be infringed, because that's exactly what the Secret Service is doing. They're infringing. They're infringing on the Second Amendment. And there should be a big protest now. I think we should have a petition, put together a petition to have concealed carry at the Republican. Well, you can't open carry, so might as well see if we can conceal carry.
That's a good idea.
And then send Dan Bandani there. See if he can get into the Republican convention with his firearm.
To report for this show.
Yeah. And maybe we'll put, as I say, hey, Dan, while you're at it, while you're bringing your gun, why don't you bring a bunch of photographs, a bunch of your Lee Harvey Oswald photos in the backyard holding all your firearms. Remember those photos on his Facebook page?
Yep.
He's posed exactly like Lee Harvey Oswald, holding firearms in his InfoWars propaganda papers. Good Lord, this is just the dumbest thing ever. And you know what's funny? Yesterday, you wrote, what could possibly go wrong? And then last night on Lawrence O'Donnell, he started the segment off about this particular story by saying, what could possibly go wrong?
Exactly.
That is the order of the day. What could possibly go wrong? And this is just a great example of, again, going back to the shall not be infringed thing. This is a great example where it's completely reasonable to infringe on gun ownership and gun carrying rights. It's completely reasonable, because what's going to happen? What do you think will happen if you get an auditorium full of gun-toting, angry Republicans?
Yeah, and they take the nomination away from Trump.
Especially after 20 ballots, and they're all exhausted and feeling goofy, and they've all got loaded firearms. Although, God, I would love to see it. I would love to see it, even if it meant someone getting shot. I can't believe I just said that. All right, on that note, we're going to have to take one last break. Back with more show after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
This is the Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Okay, this is the latest Gallup poll, dated March 21st through March 23rd. Enthusiasm for voting in 2016 among Democratic candidate supporters. Clinton supporters, extremely / very enthusiastic, 54%. Sanders supporters, extremely very enthusiastic, 44%. Mm. Just passing that along. I'm not saying anything.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that one too.
Okay. And meanwhile, I just want to swing back to what we were talking about with regard to the revolution. I do believe that at some point there needs to be serious systemic changes in the United States as far as how we conduct campaign finance, how congressional districts are drawn, things like that. Money in politics, money in the news media, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I was really glad to hear Bill Maher Friday night talking about how, in addition to taking money out of politics, to also taking money out of the news media. Now,
yeah, that's a brilliant, it'll never happen.
It'll never happen.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, one of the biggest problems, seriously, it's was a huge problem, a huge sea change for this country, mm-hmm. for politics, for everything else, was when, you know, that period where, as Network kind of chronicled really, really well back in 1976,
mm-hmm. yeah.
that period where news was not something that was a public service, that wasn't designed to make money. Mm-hmm. It was another means of making money for a network.
That's right.
Or for a, you know, for an owner of a newspaper or something like that.
That's right. It was a lost leader. The news was a lost leader. It was like, you know, where the news always lost money, they would make up for that loss by running shows like The Golden Girls or Cheers or Seinfeld. And then that money would be compensated for, all the losses that would be incurred by the news division. Now, since the elimination of the Fairness Doctrine and so many other things, there was one particular law that was passed in the 90s that completely screwed up the news media and allowed corporations to buy up more and more individual news outlets in small markets and medium-sized markets, even large markets. I think there's a ridiculous way they came up with a percentage of ownership number. I think it's something like 38.9% or something like that.
Yeah, I used to know all that because I've written about it so many times, and I was aware of it when I worked local.
So the bottom line is, though, that these are all things that need to change. Eventually, the United States will have to go more toward a single-payer system. College will have to begin to join the rest of public education as being free. All of these things will have to happen. But the way to do it, I just want to underscore this one last time before we move along here. The way to do it is not by electing some demon like Donald Trump. That's just not how you do it. It's the wrong way to do things. There are right ways to do things in the United States, and there are wrong ways to do things.
No, see, it's not about the demon. The right way to do it is to elect our messiah, Bernie Sanders.
Well, that's true.
Who, by the way, is not going to be able to – this is the thing that I keep going back to. In addition to his having a monumental uphill battle in a general election, because the Republicans would tear him apart – destroy him.
Yeah.
They would really make him look awful. Mm-hmm. But in addition to that, the issue that I have when it comes to supporting him is that all of these things he wants to accomplish, he won't be able to do.
Yeah.
He just won't.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's where the incremental change comes from. Mm,
yeah. I mean, let's put it this way. I'm going to lay it all out here. If it had been Barack Obama running for a third term, and saying some of the things that Bernie Sanders is saying, to be perfectly honest, I would be entirely on board. It's because I believe in Barack Obama's electability. I believe in his leadership skills.
Right.
I believe that he has fewer liabilities than someone like Bernie Sanders. Ultimately, what it comes down to is calculating when you're deciding in broad strokes, or when you're imagining you being in the place of, say, a swing voter in a purple state who is not as well informed as those of us who follow politics on a daily basis, certainly not as well as those of us who follow politics as a career. What are they looking at? They're looking at broad stroke identity kind of things, and both in the plus category and the minus category. And I think there are more minuses for Bernie Sanders. And I'm not going to list them here because it's going to make me personally sound shallow, even though I'm channeling what I think a swing voter would believe. I just think that Barack Obama or someone who is who has fewer liabilities, and I think Hillary Clinton has fewer liabilities as far as broad stroke identity things. Like, okay, one of her liabilities is she's a woman. Another liability is that you cannot argue with the fact that Hillary Clinton is a woman is a liability among some voters.
It's a liability among some voters. It's also a liability in going up against Republicans.
Exactly right. Also, she's a Democrat. Also, she's got a trustworthiness problem. And that's basically what we're talking about in terms of the top line, broad stroke issues with Hillary Clinton. And I'll lay it out with Bernie Sanders. Some purple state swing voters, the people who decide elections in the year 2016, are going to think of Bernie Sanders. They're going to think socialist. They're going to think old. They're going to think Jewish. They're going to think unknown. They're going to think it's just going to be a longer list of liabilities.
It's not going to stop at democratic socialism.
Yeah.
If you think that people are that intelligent that they will parse the difference between socialism and Bernie's supposed democratic socialism, you are crazy.
Yeah.
In large groups, people. What was it? Was it the line from Men in Black? People, a person is smart. People are dumb, panicky creatures.
Exactly.
Once Bernie is put under the white hot lamp of GOP, the GOP attacks, mm-hmm. he's not going to be a democratic socialist or even a socialist. He's going to be your diehard commie.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, and they will dig back through his past and they will find the honeymoon in the Soviet Union and they will find every positive thing he ever said about Hugo Chavez or Fidel Castro.
That's right.
And they will destroy him.
Yeah. So as I started the segment by mentioning Bill Maher, there was another good moment on Bill Maher's Friday night show in which he was talking about this story where these college students saw written in chalk on sidewalks on campus. Just Trump 2016 written on the sidewalk. That was basically.
And they lost their minds needed a safe space, needed a whoopee.
Yeah, exactly. In chalk. It was the next heavy rain, it's going to be gone. But yet these students just completely lost their minds. Yep. Here's Bill Maher talking about this story from the other night.
Let's talk, and with the panel, about the liberal bubble, because I know you're not afraid to go there, and I'm always criticizing what goes on college campuses. There was a doozy this week at Emory University. Mm. Oh, my gosh. You know what happened at Emory?
Talk to
me. I can't almost say it. Somebody wrote Trump, pro-Trump messages on the sidewalk in chalk.
Oh.
And I swear to God, the kids went ape.
It seemed in chalk, as permanent as we thought his like run for president was going to be.
One student said, I legitimately feared for my life. I thought we were having a KK rally.
By the way, he's not making this up. He's reading this.
Yeah.
These are the actual reactions from college students at Emory University.
KK, on campus.
What were the messages?
Just Trump, like Trump in 2016 in chalk.
Oh my God.
Another one. I'm supposed to feel comfortable and safe, but this man, Trump, is being supported by students on our campus, as is their right in a democracy. And our administration shows by their silence they support it as well. I don't deserve to feel afraid at my school. I so badly want to drop kick these kids into a place where there is actual pain and suffering.
Yeah.
What happened in this country?
You know what's funny?
That is exactly right.
Yeah, no, that's it exactly. I mean, and you hear the familiar refrain, you know, the same buzzwords, which is, I need to feel safe and comfortable on campus. No, you don't. No, you do not. Your whole life is not going to be about feeling safe. It's not.
I mean, it just seems so.
It's not all about you.
It's not.
You little shit.
Yeah.
You're going to come up against people who have different opinions than you. You're going to come up against them constantly, and you're going to have to learn to live with them without running into a room with a bunch of Play-Doh, pillows, and puppies and having a good cry.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I mean, it just seems so counterintuitive that we actually have to sit here, that Bill Maher has to take time out of his show to say, this is stupid.
What
do you expect? It's a campaign sign. It's written in chalk, for God's sake. No one was writing KKK or no one was writing anything threatening against you. It was just the last name Trump with the date after it, which was 2016. That in no way, shape, or form should be a threat. But you know what? I wanted to say this because we've spent a lot of time on this show, whether it's on the after party or the free show or the postmortem show, ripping millennials like this. I want to say two things. First of all, hashtag not all millennials. That's the main thing. Right. It's just like not all millennials are like these delicate snowflakes at Emory University who are upset about the Trump signs. Secondly,
no, not at all.
Secondly, I absolutely want to take responsibility for Generation X having raised these people.
At least generation,
partly responsible for raising the millennials. That's true.
Some of them absolutely, but not all of them. Yeah. You know, baby boomers had had kids much older than a lot of other generations.
Yeah.
So it's either very older Gen X or just on the just sort of on the baby boomer bubble.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it could be. I mean, if you look at millennials who are in college right now. That's pretty squarely in the Gen X category. And if you're looking at Gen X from, say, like,
which baffles me, which is just, I don't understand how anybody from the generation that I grew up with, and I am sort of, you know, I'm Gen X, there's no doubt about it, but I can't fathom how anybody in the generation full of people I knew, and again, not, you can't broad stroke everybody, but I don't understand how they can behave this way, how they can behave this way as parents, unless, you know, one of the things, did somebody mention on a Bill Maher, I feel like somebody mentioned it recently, and I forgive me for not remembering exactly where, that that kids were raised, kids over the past maybe 20, 30 years have been raised with the media telling parents that there's danger everywhere.
Yeah.
With because I know that's I worked true. In media for a yeah. long time, and I used to write about this when I first started the blog. One of the first things I wrote about is I said, you need to understand the way news media thinks, especially local news. Local is huge on this. Mm-hmm. They are total stranger danger. Oh, one yeah. little thing happens, and they will turn it into something huge. They will turn it into something, you know what, this is, that kid was kidnapped. One kid is kidnapped every, you know, 8,000 years, but I'm not saying that that's an actual, you know, not meant to be a factual statement.
Right.
But, you know, they basically, statistically, something that happens very rarely, they will make it sound like you need to be terrified of this.
That's true. And that's actually a really good point. I mean, somewhere around 1990 or so. And again, we're dealing a lot in generalities here. So that is a given. So we'll just throw that out there. But right around 1990 or so, there arose in the news media this whole idea of doing news stories like that where it's always seemed like kids were in some form of danger at that time. Like, and it really began like, you know, you never know what's going to be in your kid's Halloween candy, story at 11. And you're just like, oh, God. Exactly. And it was just, that's when the germophobia started, that thing, that whole thing, too, where they're going around taking samples of salt and pepper shakers at McDonald's and saying, my God, that's look it. At the, there's poop and cum all over the salt and pepper shakers. Holy crap.
There are threats everywhere.
Yeah.
There are threats everywhere.
But that, I think, with that context, I think that motivated, along with, I think, certain other elements of pop culture, motivated Gen X parents to, I don't know, be more bubble-like with their kids. I mean, that's when we saw the rise of bicycle helmets and lots of different new safety features that were occurring, I think, right around the time when Gen Xers started to become parents. So I think, to a certain respect, our generation is at least secondarily responsible for a lot of this crap that's going on college campuses and so forth, with millennials just completely flipping their minds over Trump campaign signs. Just absolutely insane. But I mean, you know, it's something that I think the millennials aren't exclusively responsible for. At least I don't think they are. So I am doing my part to take responsibility for, because frankly, I mean, for 15 years, I raised a millennial. I didn't raise a millennial to be like that.
Sure.
I have a millennial daughter.
Yeah. I have a daughter who's, you know, who's in her early 20s.
Yeah.
And she's awesome. She's great. She's a badass.
Exactly. And I think the millennial who I raised is equally badass. But I think there are many parents who, of our generation, who fell prey to some of that kind of protective, bubble-like attitude that, in some way, so again, I don't mean to pass the buck now onto the media, but that, I think that's what Gen Xers were looking at when they decided how to specifically raise their kids. Okay, so anyway, we've got a pretty good postmortem show coming up here. We're going to talk about abortion, which is always fun. We're also going to talk about... Alex Jones was talking about Barack Obama the other day, and it's worth it just to play some of this audio because it has to do with Alex Jones thinking that Barack Obama is some form of the devil. So that's coming up, too, and maybe we'll get to this story by this Christian blogger for the Blaze, whose name is Matt Walsh. I don't know if you're familiar with Matt Walsh.
I am.
But he basically tried to make an argument that the abortion issue is just as much about men as it is about women.
Sure.
Yeah, whatever. All right, the Postmortem Show is coming up next. Sign up at patreon.com/BobandChez. By the way, those of you who are signed up for the after party at bobsesca.com, we've been having serious technical problems with the after party as far as getting into the actual pages. No idea what the hell happened, but we may make it as an excuse to move all of our after party subscribers over to Patreon. So feel free to cancel your bobsesca.com subscription and then sign up at patreon.com/BobandChez. You'll get the after party show and a hell of a lot more. All right, see you on the Postmortem Show, folks. Bye-bye.